The Girl from Ipanema is one of the songs that started the bossa nova craze in the United States. The song was written by my guest, the Brazilian composer Antonio Carlos Jobim. He also wrote most of the bossa novas, which endured long enough to become pop and jazz standards. They include Desafinado, One Note Samba, Corcovado, Wave, Gingy, No More Blues, and How Insensitive. In a few minutes, we'll hear something from Jobim's first album in 8 years. Jobim was the bossa nova's leading composer. João Gilberto was its leading interpreter. Jobim and Gilberto teamed up with tenor saxophonist Stan Getz on a 1964 album. The Girl from Ipanema was the most popular song on the record and made it to number 5 on the pop charts. Jobim, the composer, was featured at the piano. Guitarist João Gilberto sang the lyric in Portuguese, and Astrid Gilberto sang a chorus in English.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? Ah, beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes.
Antonio Carlos Jobim, welcome to Fresh Air. Do you have any memories of writing Girl from Ipanema?
Yes, that was long ago. I still have some memories. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. She used to pass by, you know, go to the beach, you know. Ipanema was a beautiful place. A few people, you know. The sand was so clean, you know, fine. The sea was so blue, green, you know, with the fish and the beautiful girls, and it was very nice, you know. And she's still a beautiful woman, you know. The other day I saw her, and she's beautiful. She was the prettiest, you know, the most.
This is a woman you knew and still know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think when you started writing bossa novas, the bossa nova was seen as a pretty revolutionary music form.
Yes.
In Brazil, what was the revolution about? What made it so different from the music that had been played and sung before?
Yes, it was more like the to make a comparison, it's more like the cool jazz, you know, at the time, you know, with less. How do you say, economic, concise, succinct, with less, you know, the percussion and the rhythm, more to the point, you know, to avoid too many beats, too many notes, you know, this kind of music that was called, you know, revolutionary, you know. They thought this was a revolution, you know. As Stravinsky said, you know, a complete revolution, you know. You come exactly to the same point.
So who was angry at this new music? Who didn't like it?
Well, the Puritans, you know, the purists, you know, the guys that used to write about the traditional samba, you know, they thought that this was Americanized, you know, which is not true, you know. now we can say that bossa nova is very much, you know, can be called jazz, you know, because everything that swings, you know, we call jazz, like, you know, Latin jazz, Caribbean jazz, Brazilian jazz, Cuban jazz, you know, there's this very, the word jazz is very ample, huh? Very.
Yeah, but at the time, calling it jazz made it seem like a bastard kind of form of Brazilian music. Was that part of the problem?
Yes, yes.
So,
by the way,
yeah,
we have in Brazil, here I don't know, we have no bastards, you know, because this every son is legitimate. There is no bastards.
So who are the people who really loved this new music?
Chiefly the kids, you know, chiefly the kids, the young people, you know.
And how old were you when you started writing it?
I was, let me see, I was about 20, 25, 28, 32, 35 I came. Let's say the bossa nova explosion is the when we came here to the States, the Foreign Service sent us here, and we played at the Carnegie Hall in November 22, 1962. And it was a big thing, you know. Bossa nova was already well established in the U.S. of A, with, you know, the jazz musicians started to record the bossa nova consistently in the West Coast. And here in New York, Stan Getz with Charlie Bird, they recorded Desafinado, a song that I wrote that means off-key. You know, that was translated like slightly out of tune, which is not exactly the meaning of Desafinado. Desafinado means off-key.
I want to play another song that you wrote that was recorded by you, Stan Getz, and Joao Gilberto.
Yes.
In, was this the mid-60s, I guess?
Yes.
And this is Corcovado. And
yes.
You open this with some of your piano playing.
Yes.
And Astrid Gilberto starts,
yes,
starts
yes.
with the singing. So let's give some of this a listen, and then we'll talk about it.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from a guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window that looks out on Corcovado. Oh, how lovely. Esse amor, uma canção pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela ver seu Corcovado, o Redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste.
That's Corcovado from an album that really helped popularize bossa nova in America. It's the Stan Getz, Joao Gilberto record, with songs mostly composed by my guest Antonio Carlos Jobim, who was featured at the piano, and Astrid Gilberto opened with the vocal on that. You know, you were talking before about how radical bossa nova was perceived as being in Brazil when you first started writing bossa novas. In
yes.
America, I think it was seen very differently as a kind of quiet alternative to rowdy rock and roll and to loud and abrasive modern jazz and avant-garde jazz.
Yes, yes.
Did you feel that contradiction was true?
Yes, very much, yes. Well, you see, no one is a prophet in his own country. You know, the Bible says that, you know. When you do something different, you know, many people, you know, it's amazing how soft, you know, delicate songs can cause this reaction, you know. But this reaction came from a minority, you know, of critics that were, you know, like very, you know, preoccupied with what is authentic, you know.
You're talking about the critics in Brazil?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the critics here have been very, very nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a very generous people, you know, towards many, many things, you know.
Well, I read that you said once that if the bossa nova hadn't caught on in America, you think it just would have been stifled in Brazil.
Yeah, I think it would have disappeared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so strong, you know. Now in Brazil, they are giving me, you know, all these medals and things, you know, with the, you know, the album Passerine now is the best album, the album of the year. I'm the composer of the year, and I'm, I don't know, three awards, you know. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there, so I'm sending my son to receive these awards. There is, you know, they say that if you stick around long enough, you will die with the breast full of medals, you know. If you die too young, you know, then you won't have time to get the medals, you know. So you should stick around a little longer, you know.
One of the leading interpreters of your songs has been Joao Gilberto. Are you still in touch with him? We heard him performing earlier.
Yes. He performed here a few days ago.
Oh.
Very good, very good. He's still in great shape, you know. He takes good care of himself.
How did you both meet up? You were the leading composer, he the leading interpreter.
He came from the backlands of, you know, between the state of Bahia and Pernambuco. And he came to Rio de Janeiro and started singing there. He comes from a vocal group, you know. One of these vocal groups, you know, and then we tried to do a record, and nobody wanted to do a record with João Gilberto because he was considered too revolutionary, you know, too modern. Everybody would say this is very good, but it's not commercial, you know. So finally, we got the permission to make a 78, you know, with him, you know, a single. And the record did very well, so we got the permission to make an album. And I did an album, you know, with João Gilberto that was very successful. And then the second album and the third album. And now, you know, he is his famous singer, you know. He was also accused of being desafinado, you know, being off key. He's very much in key, but at the time, you know, because he sang this song, this off key, you know, called Off Key, the critics also started to say that he had a very beautiful voice, but that he was, you know, off key, which is not true.
My guest is composer Antonio Carlos Jobim, who is one of the leading composers, really one of the first composers of the style now known as the bossa nova. We're going to talk more and hear something from his new record after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Antonio Carlos Jobim is my guest. Bossa nova was such a big craze in America, and then like many crazes, it kind of quieted down. Was there any bad periods for you where there wasn't much demand for the music anymore?
Never.
Never?
Never happened that. I think that my songs are...
Well, your songs are still standards.
Yeah, I think they are going to survive me, you know, by far, you know. They're going to survive me for sure because they keep on recording, you know, the songs, and I feel, you know, for terra firma, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to play something from your new record, and the new record's called Passerim, and we're going to hear the title song. But before we hear it, do you think that your style of songwriting has changed over the years? Do you think that these bossa novas are very different from the earlier ones that we heard a little before?
Yeah, you know, Terry, for me, you know, the word bossa nova is becoming like a burden, like a heavy cross. Because, you know, I write a symphony and they call it bossa nova. Right. I write a waltz. Anything that I do, you know, a prelude or I write a tango, they call it bossa nova. Because bossa nova actually means, you know, new flair, you know, new flair. And it's like the La Nouvelle Vague, you know, the new wave.
Right.
New wave, Nouvelle Vague. So the bossa nova. Now the guys, they want to call it, you know, the nova bossa nova, the new.
new.
Yeah, the new, the newly new. I know that many of these crazies, like, you know, the conga, the mambo, the you know, they come, they and go very. They have very ephemeral, very short life, short lived, you know.
Yeah, they become like novelties.
Yes, like novelties that disappeared, you know. But I believe that Gershwin, Cole Porter, they are not going to disappear, you know, because it's more consistent, you know. There's something there, you know. If go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's play your new record and hear the kinds of music that you're writing now. And this is from a new album called Passerim on the Verve record label. And my guest is the composer Antonio Carlos Jobim, who's also singing on this recording.
Little bird on the tree, you better fly. If you stay on that tree, you're gonna die.
Little bird of the forest, say to me, what happiness just can never be. Who put the poison in the dark that hurts my soul and kills my heart, that made my whole life fall apart? This passion hurts and breaks my heart and haunts my dreams and breaks my heart.
The forest I loved went up in flame, and now the fire has gone to rain. And now the rain has gone to stream. Where is my love, my long lost dream?
The ashes flew away and scattered far away.
And where is my love, little bird didn't say.
Antonio Carlos Jobim, this is really your first record released in America, anyways, in the United States. Your first record in the past, I don't know, several years. How come you waited so long to make another record?
I don't know. You see, the Passerim talks about fresh air, you know. It's an ecological song, you know, because man is destroying the environment so fast, you know, and this we have to fight to avoid that, you know, not to kill the nature, you know, because we are part of it, and if we save nature, maybe we can save ourselves, you know.
Were you ever shy about recording or about performing,
yes.
Singing?
Yes,
specifically, what I mean.
Yes, I used to be, Terry, a background guy, you know, backstage, you know, always arranging. The first awards that I got, as a ranger, you know, I've been. Sometimes nominated here in the United States, but I never got the, you know, the first thing.
You're living in New York now?
Yes.
Is that part of the time or full time?
I'm living in New York. You know, I'm going to Brazil now. I'm back and forth all the time.
Was there a time when you were young and studying music when you thought you would be writing in the European classical tradition instead of writing, you know, pop music and songs?
Yes. I had a German teacher, you know, that fled from the war, you know, and he went to Brazil. And I had a kind of a classically trained, you know, to be a pianist, you know. But I think that popular music, you know, was really my my thing. So finally, and also, you know, to live in Brazil, you know, as a erudite musician is difficult, you know, because it's not like Europe or the U.S., you know. I like popular music, you know. I like I'm all, you know, involved with this thing.
There's a time when you were ready to write in another language, so to speak.
Yes, it was another language, so to speak. I wrote a couple of serious, you know, serious, what they call serious music, you know, what they call, classical music, you know. But they are not very popular.
Well, what made you realize, though, you should be writing in your own voice, you should be writing in the rhythms of your own country, the rhythms that you grew up hearing?
Because here, you see, you have so many good musicians, you know. I lived 4 years in California. You have such, and New York, too. You have such good musicians. I would be just one more, you know, just one more jazz musician. So if I can, bring you some fresh air from, you know, from abroad, it's more useful, you know. I will be servicing, you know, you better, you know.
Your first instrument is piano, but you also play guitar.
Right.
It's interesting to me. I think the kind of songs that you write are really more associated with guitar than with piano. Maybe that's because Gilberto was one of the performers who popularized the form.
Also, when I got to the States, they wouldn't let me play piano here. You know, they said, listen, Antonio, you gotta be the Latin lover. You should play the guitar. You know, if you play the piano, you destroy the whole image, you know. So I've been playing guitar for many, many years, you know, which was, let's say, my second instrument. That was an instrument that I used to play by ear, you know. I play a little flute, a little guitar, you know, and the piano was the, you know, the main thing, you know.
There have been some very silly bossa nova records made over the years.
Sure.
Trying to cash in on the craze.
Sure.
Can I ask you which you thought were the silliest of the bunch?
I really don't know. You know, I don't worry much about the there are so many silly things, you know, that as you well know, you know, I love, you know, the American music, you know, and Jerry Mulligan and Stan Getz and Chet Baker and, you know, so many, you know, my list, you know, Dizzy Gillespie, Billy Taylor, so George Shearing, so many guys that you have here that they play bossa nova so well, you know, they can play anything, you know.
When you first started writing bossa novas, did you sit down and think to yourself, I'm writing something new here?
No. I was, you know, rather naive, you know. I was immersed, you know, in the music thing, you know, music. I couldn't see, you know, I was very, I was concentrating on my work, you know. I didn't have names for it, you know. I used this word on the back cover, on the liner notes for an album, talking about João Gilberto, you know. Talking about João Gilberto, I wrote, you know, João Gilberto is a baiano, a bossa nova. A baiano means a guy from the state of Bahia, you know. And I called him bossa nova, you know. And bossa nova means, you know, a guy that has a gift, a flair, and a new flair, you know. And that's it. And then this name got very popular, you know, bossa nova. And then suddenly in Brazil we had the bossa nova president, the bossa nova refrigerator, you know. This car is a bossa nova, you know. Anything new, they would call a bossa nova, you know.
Let me ask you one thing about your new record. I noticed that there's a lot of Jobims performing on it. There's Polo Jobim.
Right.
And Analentra Jobim.
Right.
Elizabeth Jobim. These are all your family members?
Yes, the family members. Also, we have other families there, like the Caimes, you know. the Danilo Caymmi and his wife, that is Simone Caymmi. And we have the Morellenbaums, you know, Jacques Morellenbaum and Paula Morellenbaum. You know, all these are families of musicians, you know. I've been accused of nepotism, you know, but it's not true, you know. We've been working together because they're good, you know, and they were around, you know, so I could say, hey guys, you know, come here, you know, let's work, you know, for a change, you know, instead of I believe, you know, in life and in, you know, in music, I believe that that music should lead you to happiness, not to, you know, that the kids should not kill themselves, you know.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure talking with you, Terry.
My guest has been composer Antonio Carlos Jobim, who was really one of the founding composers of the Bossa Nova. His latest record is called Passerine. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.